From the KPIX 5 newsroom, this is Bay Area Nightbeat on KBCW.
Now on Nightbeat, the campfire burning in Butte County has now become the deadliest wildfire in the state's history. Today, the death count jumped by 13, bringing the total fatality tonight to 42. Authorities say they are now sending in cadaver dogs.
The fire has burned 117,000 acres right now, and tonight it is only about 30% contained. President Trump signed off on emergency funding today, and he tweeted, quote, "I just approved an expedited request for a major disaster declaration for the state of California. Wanted to respond quickly in order to alleviate some of the incredible suffering going on. I am with you all the way. God bless all of the victims and families affected." The fire has been tearing through Butte County since it broke out on Thursday. Today, crews reported two new spot fires south of Paradise, burning on each side of Lake Oroville. Sonoma County School District told us that 90% of their schools will be closed tomorrow due to the poor air quality.
They're asking parents to check their website to find out which schools are being affected. We have team coverage tonight on the fires burning across the state. Let's first begin with Nightbeat's Joe Vasquez live in Paradise for us. Joe.
Liz, officials here tonight said that they found some of the dead inside their homes, others inside their cars, but yet others just outside their vehicles as if they were trying to get inside but were overwhelmed by smoke and couldn't get behind the wheel fast enough to escape.
It was everywhere.
Daryl Wilkin, a registered nurse, drove through the flames with three of his elderly patients.
Everywhere the cars were on fire and I didn't see anybody walking. And all I could think of is there were people in those cars.
So far, officials are only releasing three names of the dead because they haven't been able to reach the family of a fourth. They are 48-year-old Jesus Fernandez of Concow, 65-year-old Ernest Francis Foss Jr. of Paradise, and 77-year-old Carl Wiley of Magalia. While investigators continue to search for evidence, some survivors are still struggling with the fact that they have lost everything and the anguish of knowing some of the 228 people who are still reported missing.
Hazel's 99 years old. She's still missing. Alan Rigg, he's not found with the Alan Rigg Band. He's my neighbor. If anybody knows where Alan is, please.
Reggie Elizabeth Graywolf lived at the Acres of Paradise Mobile Home Park when flames stormed through Paradise on Thursday. Most of the mobile homes were wiped out. She was lucky to get out alive.
She says many of her neighbors were elderly and disabled and got no warning whatsoever, although it's not clear if a warning would have made much of a difference.
On the nearby streets, the burned out shells of dozens of cars are still parked in a line along the escape route. State DNA experts are helping identify victims with chaplains and hearses nearby.
We've got so many people missing of our neighbors. Our neighbors are gone.
Officials say they're now expanding their search and recovery efforts. They're adding 150 people to their crew, and they will be bringing in cadaver dogs, Liz, as they need a little extra help out here. They are clearly overwhelmed by the magnitude of this disaster. There are a lot of crews on the ground focusing on the fire right now, but the search and recovery and then the long-term recovery, that's going to take a long time and a lot more people, a lot of more boots on the ground, if
sure.
you will.
And it is a grim task ahead, no question, Joe. Are they all holding out hope, though? There is a great possibility that some of these missing people could be found nearby shelters, perhaps some of the motels nearby. Is that happening?
Right. Not just shelters and motels, but they might be staying with loved ones and just simply have not had a chance to chin with local authorities, or they're just so overwhelmed here that maybe they've just not been able to compare notes. Maybe they checked in, but they haven't gotten it to the right person. So, yeah, they are hoping that number of missing will dwindle, that they're not going to find them all out here in the same situation as the four so far.
Right. Let's hope that's the case. All right, Joe, thank you.
Well, as you might expect, lots of people are eager to make donations to help out the evacuees, but it is important to remember that some forms of assistance are better than others. Nightbeat's Betty Yu is here to explain that. Betty?
Ken, so many people want to help, and sometimes it can be hard to know which organization to go with or how best to send that help. Here are some ways.
Amid so much devastation and loss, we're seeing tons of generosity. Donations have quickly filled up makeshift evacuation centers, this one at a Walmart parking lot in Chico. Still, while victims appreciate the items, the most efficient way to help in a disaster is to send money, according to the Red Cross.
As a practical matter, when people bring stuff, it's more harmful than it is helpful because it's generally not the right stuff, and it's just a lot easier with funds.
Currently, the Red Cross has 5 shelters open to help campfire victims. The donated money will also go toward providing food, medicine, medical equipment, and counseling. Another way to get direct relief to victims is through the California Fire Foundation's SAFER program. It's giving firefighters $100 prepaid credit cards that they can distribute to victims they encounter on the front lines. During the Santa Rosa fires last year, firefighters handed out 4,000 cards.
The best thing to understand about it is if you're contributing to the foundation, every single dollar is going directly to a fire victim.
Airbnb is already seeing a huge response from hosts. More than 1,500 people throughout the state have listed their homes for free. Hosts can set how much time works for them.
A shelter is the number one thing people need right now. So if you have any sort of extra space, it could go a long way making these tough transitions just a little bit easier.
And Butte Humane Society is helping victims with pet supplies. It created a wish list on Amazon for those who'd like to help but aren't in the area.
Also, remember to do your research on a charity's reputation. Charity Navigator is a good source with data on nonprofits. So again, the Red Cross is taking donations at 1-800-RED-CROSS. You can also text Butte Fire to 91999 to donate to the United Way Relief Fund. The Salvation Army has its own hotline number, 1-800-SAL-ARMY. And Airbnb is again asking users to list any properties they have available for evacuees. Liz?
All great resources. Thank you, Betty. Smoke from the fire continues to create bad air across the entire Bay Area. This is what it looked like this afternoon in San Jose. Officials say in these conditions, even healthy people should limit their outdoor activity. Well, despite the bad air, a 49er game did go ahead tonight in Santa Clara. Fans at Levi's Stadium were wearing masks as they watched the Niners play the New York Giants. The air quality index was at 161 during the game in the unhealthy range. The NFL would have postponed the game if that index had reached 200. On the field, the teams had masks available for players and staff, plus extra oxygen on the sidelines. Let's go to Chief Meteorologist Paul Deanna with when the air quality will finally get better, Paul.
I don't have the answer to that. It's going to be the next 5 days that we're going to be stuck in a spare the air situation. I can tell you what's going on right now. The air quality is still bad, despite the fact that it actually smells a little better outside. Many comments I've seen on social media doesn't smell as bad. Trust me, the air quality is actually worse today compared to yesterday. Everywhere in the Bay Area, except Concord and Fairfield, is experiencing very unhealthy air quality right now. So that blanket is stuck over us, the blanket of smoke. Slight improvement later this week, a pattern change, which may change the overall wind profile, which is what we need. It's possible, but not until a couple days before Thanksgiving. So why are we stuck with this air? Well, the fire is burning to our north and east. Our wind is coming from the northeast. So we're going to stay smoky until the winds change. And I don't see that happening anytime soon. Tomorrow, unhealthy to very unhealthy air quality once again, and likely for the rest of this school week and work week. Back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you for that. No better in Southern California, where crews continue to battle the Woolsey Fire. That fire torched more than 93,000 acres, leveling some of the most wealthy areas of Los Angeles County. Reporter Ileana Diaz joins us live now from Calabasas with the fluid situation. Ileana?
Ken, the fire has now destroyed more than 400 homes in this area. The home behind me is one of them. The walls completely collapsed, and the only thing remotely intact are these trees around me. And if the Woolsey Fire wasn't enough, then there were at least 2 new fires that broke out today just west of Los Angeles when the winds picked up. In Simi Valley, a new fire nearly overran a major freeway. And last week, the Oak Park home of Linda and Johnny Castellanos suffered minor damage when the wildfire raced through it. Then it burned a second time over the weekend, and their home is now a total loss. In Malibu, firefighters are putting out hot spots. This is Point Doom, where trucks melted right on the street, along with garbage cans, now just mounds of plastic. And the once picturesque mansions are charred beyond recognition. But amazingly, some of the homes were spared.
I have no idea. It kind of like went around our house, it looks like, and hit every other house except ours. It's unbelievable.
Along the Malibu shoreline, road access has been cut off by the fire. Supplies are now being brought in by boat to those trapped in the fire zone. And volunteers have also been paddle boarding out to those boats. They say because of the strong winds, the water has been too choppy for the boats to go to the shoreline. So volunteers have been paddle boarding to assist in getting those supplies to those who need it. On the Night Beat, I'm Ileana Diaz. Back to you, Liz.
All right, Ileana, thank you. Well, here's a live look at New York City, where the Empire State Building is glowing in blue and gold to honor the victims of the California wildfires. And you can always get the very latest information on the wildfires on our website, kpix.com.
Tonight, a Democratic congresswoman has scored a victory in the Arizona Senate race, flipping a seat long held by Republicans. Kyrsten Sinema has defeated Representative Martha McSally. She will now become Arizona's first female senator. The outcome was delayed because of slow vote counting and narrow margins between the two candidates. But tonight, the AP called the race and McSally conceded. Later, Sinema said that she intends to look beyond partisan politics.
We can love and care about people who are different than us. We can keep people who are different than us safe. We can be good people who care deeply about each other, even when we disagree. And we can start by listening to someone with a different opinion, listening not to rebut or to debate, but listening to understand.
Meanwhile, in Florida, the recounts are underway in two races for senator and governor. In the Senate contest, Republican Rick Scott currently leads incumbent Bill Nelson by slightly less than 13,000 votes. For now, the recounts are being done by machine. Under Florida law, this is mandatory in races that are less than 0.5% apart. And the deadline is this Thursday. Then, if the margin is within 0.25 percentage point, a hand recount of questionable ballots will be necessary.